Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Thank you. I'm going to invite you to take hold of your Bible. If you are there with us, we're going to Genesis. Grateful too. If you're here with an electronic Bible, you'll see inside the bulletin the password for the Hope Wi-Fi. Just go ahead and check that out as well. We want to make sure that you can find that direction and look at your Bible either electronically. I'm going to my New King James rendering. We've been in a tremendous summer series that is entitled Falling Up, Learning from Failures. And since we all fail, isn't it nice when we get a chance to learn from somebody else's failures? And that's the element of our series. We've been enjoying that. And what we take a look at today, we're looking at Lot. Lot, for example, a story of a man. His name Lot, and he's a follower. He's following Abraham, the father of faith. And so I want to just start as you take a look at, you're going to be seeing Genesis chapter 11, and we're going through chapter 19. We'll be taking a look at pieces of that story of Lot. And let me just start by just saying there was a group of ducks that were flying in formation. And as they flew in formation, and you've seen him, those ducks flying here in Huntington Beach, whether it's flying south for the winter or north for the summer. And so this group of ducks, they're flying in formation, just quacking themselves up. They saw a barn and decided to land because there were some domesticated ducks that were enjoying a free feast of corn. They stayed for an hour. That hour stayed for a day. That day stayed for a little bit longer than a week, and then a whole month, and they ducks decided it's time we better get on our journey. And one duck decided to linger, saying, you know, this is really pretty nice. I have it pretty comfortable here. I'm going to stay a little longer. Well, when winter hit, that same formation of ducks flew over the barn, and their buddy down below said, you know, I'm feeling that urge to fly again. But as he went to take flight, couldn't get farther up into the air than the height of the barn. He was just too heavy, too heavy. As the seasons turned and his buddies decided to fly south because now it's summertime, he wanted to take off again, but because of the weight, he could not fly. Eventually, that same seasonal flight path, he wanted to fly, but because he could not, stopped even looking up. There was no longer a desire to want to get up and fly. We take a look at this story of Lot, very similar. Here's a man who flew in formation with Abraham, the father of faith. But because of some obvious clear fixations on temporary pleasures in life, can happen to Christians, good-meaning, well-intended Christians, that all of a sudden in that, we sometimes start to say, you know what, I kind of grow content. I think I'm spiritual enough. I think I really have sacrificed enough. I've really prayed enough. And we stop growing. We just kind of settle on in there. We grow complacent. So this is the story of a man named Lot. And he really has squandered the fruitful elements of his life. And we're going to see. See, that's our series. That's our series. We want to look at the mistakes of others and say, ah, I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to make that mistake. So this morning, as we look at Lot's lingering legacy, we're going to see Lot's life in three stages. And so as you look at your bulletin, you'll see on the back, point number one is Lot found a champion. That champion is Abraham. I'm in Genesis chapter 11. You can see the notations there in verse 27. In Genesis 11, verse 27, let's take a look at that. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, or Abram. Eventually his name will become Abraham. Nahor and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. Later, she'll have a name called Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Nahor, and the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law Sarai and his son Abram's wife, and they went out from Ur of Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Verse 32 says Terah's going to die. The father's going to die there. But we take a look here. Here's the story. Abram, later to be called Abraham, God is calling him out of a pagan society. Ur of Chaldeans, just a little area located right there in the area of Iraq. And God's going to start to reveal himself to Abraham. One thing we do know about God, that God does not want to have any form of competition. He does not tolerate competition. There are no gods except the one true God. But because that Ur of Chaldeans, that pagan culture, is polytheistic, which means they're living in a society where they had many gods. Everybody had a different god. And God's going to start to reveal to Abraham. So the tragedy of the story, as we see here, is that Lot's father, Haran, dies. It's Abraham's brother. Haran dies. Let's take a look here. And it says in verse 28, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, that's an important aspect. We have something that's happening here because, first of all, he died before his father. Now, one of two things could mean something about that. One was he literally died while his father watched him. That's tragic enough. Or could mean chronologically, he died before his father died. One way or the other, we do know this, that nothing affects a family like death. And that's something to consider as we look at this family story. Another thing to make notice of, look at verse 30. It says, and Sarai was barren. She had no child. She was infertile. She could not have children. Now that's important. So we have a childless couple and you have a fatherless child. And God's telling Abram, come on out. And they take with them Lot, his nephew. And Lot's willing to say, man, let's take up the stakes. I'm ready to go and journey with you. So they migrate along the Euphrates River, moving west, modern-day Iraq. They move on down, going south. They settle in Haran. That's where then Terah dies. Then they journey a little bit further south and come to Cana. Canaan is now what we would call Israel. A change happens. The same group goes further south to Egypt because there's a famine in the land, or it could be because Abraham doesn't have faith in God to supply the needs. But they come on up there. And it's what is worth noting here as you look for a moment here in Genesis 12, verse 4 and verse 5. Can you see it there? Are you with me? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So when we look here, what we do want to note, our note is Lot followed a champion. What would be noted here is that Lot was with Abraham. That's important. We never want to downplay somebody that has a seasoned spiritual mentor in their life. And Lot has that. That's important for our story. Taking a look at that, to have somebody like Abraham. And as Romans 4 verse 11 says, that Abraham is called the father of those who believe. The father of faith. If you have faith in Jesus, man, you are grafted in. How did you get there? Same way with Abraham. He believed God's promise and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Do you believe a promise from God? We certainly heard an inspiring story. So to believe God, even for salvation, but that's important. The value of a godly relationship with a mentor, that's an amazing thing. To have that, knowing that a person will be available in times of crises, speak life into you, to affirm things in you, to help bring areas of accountability. There's been many amazing men and women I've known that have not had those mentors at the time they needed and were affected similar to Lot. So when we take a look, it's important. Can you imagine what it was like for the disciples to have 3.5 years of mentoring with Jesus? The Apostle Paul had Barnabas. Barnabas took him under his wing and introduced Paul, who was Saul, to the believers in Jerusalem. Thank God for Barnabas, aren't you? And look what Paul did. Then we had Timothy and Silas, Aquila and Priscilla. Paul comes along and he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Man, that's great. I want to just add, it's important. There's something about that. Watching a life of a person is better than reading a book. Oh, watching the life of a person is better than hearing a sermon. To have somebody in your life where you do things with and have ability to interact with, that's what we're talking about here. Lot had that with Abraham. Let's take a look at number two. Lot faced challenges. Challenges being, now let's look at chapter 13. He faced some challenges, and we see in verse 1, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Can you see how Abram is even elevating Lot here? We're co-equals. We're brothers here. In verse 9, so not the whole land before you? Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Now, let's take a look here, because what we have here is we have brothers, let's just say areas, there's a conflict between the family. It's not a conflict between the Canaanites. We have brothers going against brothers. There's a strife that's happening. I don't, you call it sibling rivalry. I had two brothers growing up. I don't remember strife with the neighbors, but I do have a number of memories with conflicts with my brothers, number of them. It just seems to be that natural way, doesn't it? It's always something where you have those rivalries that happen with family. A Scottish proverb, I don't, it could be Irish, it says to dwell above with those we love wouldn't certainly be glory. But to be with those here below, now that's a different story. So it's important when we take a look here. Why was there strife? Let's see if the Bible speaks to us. Why was there strife? Why were they fighting? Because they had stuff. Verse 6 says, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Verse 7, and there was strife between not only their herdsmen. In other words, on their journey, man, their livestock started to increase. The employees on their payroll started to increase. And stuff always complicates relationship. Have you found that out? Always complicate. Have you ever dealt with a will? Have you ever dealt with anybody that has something that you knew you might want? Or they have more? But stuff complicates relationships. Let me just maybe talk it through you a little bit. If you've ever moved your home and you package everything up, And then, oh yeah, bring that box in. You go, I don't know what's in that box. You open it up. Oh, yep, that's mine. Close it. And you will not see that stuff again till you move. Why do we keep it? Stuff complicates relationships. Another way you can just take a look is just go ahead and just try to get rid of some of her stuff. Oh, no, you don't. What do you mean? Excuse me? This is my stuff. Well, we've got way too much, honey. Come on. Try getting rid of his stuff. No, you're not going to touch my stuff. We're not touching your stuff. Stuff complicates relationships. And this is exactly what is happening here. They have stuff, a lot of it, and the land cannot contain them. I think verse 7, too, if you look here, it says the bottom of verse 7, the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Now, why would that be in Jack? I just like to add, it's interesting because I get the picture that wherever there's a conflict among family members, outsiders are always watching. They're always watching. You can't say the world isn't watching that conflict in the family. They are. They are. It was said there about Michelangelo and Raphael. They were artists. They were hired by the Vatican. But they did not get along. It was well documented. They had strife going on. And they had different forms of art. One was a painter. The other was a sculptor. But when they walked down the same corridor, they did not talk to each other. But all of Rome knew these two guys didn't get along. Here they're working for the glory of God. But they sure didn't want to talk. Strife happens. And certainly happened here, which brought up number 3, Lot formed choices. So we start to see the choices that he's going to make. Letter A, he starts looking. So he's forming his choice by looking. That's important for us. We're looking here at chapter 13. Look at verse 10 now. See it on your Bible? It's important for you to see if you're going to grow and develop from somebody else's failures. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So it's interesting, we see here Lot was driven by his senses. That's what the Bible said. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan. Just a beautiful foliage, wonderful display. And he probably said something like this. Oh, that's nice. I want the very best. Who wouldn't? Nothing wrong with that. I want the best. That should remind us of something. A couple weeks back, we were in the garden. Remember that? In Genesis chapter 3. And it was just so clear in verse 6 where it says that Eve looked up and saw that the fruit was beautiful to behold, one to make one wise, and she took. So you start looking at things, and that's letter A. He was looking at things because our eyes will always long for what our heart wants to see happen. Just check it out. Where does your eye go? What does your heart have going on? So when we take a look how the New Testament reminds us so clearly to walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. So based upon what looks good, we see here that Lot goes after the material and not the spiritual. That's a point number one. Let's check it out. How about letter B? He's leaving. That's the word we're looking at here in verse 12 now, same chapter 13. And it says, Abram dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So let's take a look now. Lot looks, he's looking, and now he's leaving. And it's a beautiful green belt that he sees so clearly there, the Jordan Plain. And something starts to happen because this is a big deal. Why does it such a big deal? Well, if you look here for a moment in verse 13, it says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. Man, that's like wicked at 10. You're not just bad and evil, you're exceedingly wicked. I don't know if you've ever come across wicked people, but when they're exceedingly wicked, wow, it must be one terrible group of people. And Bible adds, sinful against the Lord. So it's one thing to be one bad, evil, wicked, exceedingly wicked person, but still have a reverence maybe for God. But they were not at all interested in God. Sinful against God. So Abraham is the champion of faith. Man, Lot could have learned so much if he just held on to him or patterned something. A good life group question would be for us, what value, what core value do you use when you make decisions? So you can see here, we have Lot making some decisions here. What would be the value that would be important for you if somebody says, hey, we've got this offer going on? Because some people might say, well, my decision's based on a good job. So I value a good job placement. Or social life's going to be important, whether I'm there in a high-rise or urban setting. I like a social environment. Others would say, I like my material accrements. Man, just if I can just accumulate or the best possibility. And so people in times of striving amid that kind of decision, when we have people following us, especially children, our children's souls start to starve because we forget, is this a good environment for those that are following us? How about letter C? By living, let's look at chapter 14 in Genesis 14. Now, Lot's on a trajectory. It's a tragic trajectory now. And in word chapter 14, look at verse 12. It says, they also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now, we're looking at that one verse. Lot is now dwelling in Sodom. What's taking place here? We have five kings who've joined a coalition. They attack the region. They just ransack all of Sodom, take all the people, Lot being a part of that. Now remember, nothing has changed. The emphasis is by living. He is living, dwelling in Sodom. He was once in a tent on the outskirts. Now he's coming on in. And that's what we want to highlight. You say, well, man, Lot, what? Why is it that you are living in Sodom? He would have maybe some reasoning. I call them excuses. They might sound like this. Well, there's a lot of advantages in living in Sodom. I think it would advance my career. I think certainly my children would have more opportunities. And it's pretty advanced around here. I really am kind of tired of hanging in a tent and following Uncle Abe. I deserve being here in the city. And we know that Lot really was, the Bible says he was righteous. 2 Peter 2:7 says that the righteous man Lot, his soul was vexed because of the wickedness. And it takes just simple faith in God, but something happened there. Just that way is probably what he would say. Yeah, it's just the way I live. It's my neighborhood. That's just the environment that we live in. But something starts to happen because his wife is not going to leave that city too easily, nor his daughters. You know, it's the wife that turned back when she was asked to leave. So something starts changing in people when you go on into that environment. Man, except for the mercy of God. Mercy of God. Let's take a look here. Let's go to letter D. By leading. Man, he's looking. He's taking out things. He's now leaving, separating from Abraham. He's living there. And now he's leading. What do I mean by that? Well, let's let verse 1 of chapter 19. Let's slide on over a little further to chapter 19, verse 1. See what's happening here. Story of Lot picks up again. It says, now the two angels, who are they? Two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. Let's take a look here, because what you want to see here, you have Lot sitting in the gates. And anybody that sits in the gates in ancient time is not just a citizen, they are a leading citizen. Letter D is by leading. So he's not only in the city, this guy is a not just a resident of Sodom, man, he's a representation of Sodom. So what happens, person who occupies the gates, they're a place of judge. They are a magistrate. They're a politician. Man, Lot is a politician in Sodom. He's not just a citizen. So this is important when we take a look at it. Anybody that had a dispute, anybody that wanted something judged, they'd bring it to the city gates, and there the leaders would deliberate what the outcome would be. There he is. It's just like David said in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, 1:1 of Psalm. Remember when he said, like Lot, he went about walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands in the path of sinners, and now he sits in the seat of the scornful. So we're looking at a man here. How did he get there? Man, he was flying in formation with Abraham. Now he can hardly get up, get out. But we see here his residence. He's more than that. He's a representation now of Sodom. Somebody said, if you walk in the footsteps of bad advice, you will soon sit among them who give it. And that's Lot. Man, he's one of the bosses in the town. He's one of the bosses. He could have said and did something. Notice verse 2 here. Verse 2, it has the word house. Lot's house, my house. That's the first time the word house is in the scripture, and it's Lot's house. He used to dwell in tents. Remember that? Matter of fact, at this setting, Abraham's still dwelling in tents. Hebrews 11, verse 9 and 10, where it talks about how that Abraham chose to dwell in tents because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And yet God said, look, at you check out Canaan. This entire terra firma is all yours, my friend. Everywhere you set the soles of your feet. Somebody says, I've got some free property. I'd be a little tempted to start building some trenches, put up some foundations, and build. Not Abraham. He says, I'm just coming through anyway. I'm going to stay in tents. Lot, he has a house. And he's right there in the city. Let's take a look at letter E. How about by lingering? By lingering. It's interesting. In verse 12, chapter 19, says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Now, that's an interesting thing. I mean, you really want to be able, as a parent, as a leader, when you say something, you really want to be trusted. Isn't that true? Imagine as a parent, your child on the fourth, fifth, and 16th time, don't do it, don't do it. Wow, if there's no repercussion, they think he's kidding. And these are his sons-in-laws, and they're out there in the cool night air. He had to go out, say, get up, get going. But they were married to his daughters. What's worth noting, just a little side note, in verse 8, when these two angelic beings go in and the guys of the city want to break in and get to know these angels sexually, he's saying, don't do it to my strangers, but here are my two daughters. Look at verse 8. It says, who have not known a man. Not known a man intimately. They're married, but they're still virgins. Interesting thing how this society is so corrupt that we can see even marriages may not have been consummated. So when we see in verse 15, goes on, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city. Well, our point is in letter E, by lingering. Look at verse 16, the word lingered, while he lingered. That Hebrew word literally means he hesitated, to question, to be reluctant. It's kind of like saying, as these angels are coming on in, saying, hey, let's get out. He's saying, whoa, let's wait. I think I've got some questions here. Are we really going to do this? What are we talking about here? That's what he's doing. I'm not sure I really want to go. Can you imagine that? So the urgency of separating himself from evil, man, he's even have deaf ears to the angelic visitation. He cannot see the urgency of the hour. Where did this happen to Lot, who went with Abraham? How did that happen? So we see here, this guy stood side by side with Abraham. He flew in formation with him. Man, we know his soul was saved, but his life on this planet was not. All life that he knew was lost. Lost. He barely made it out with his two daughters. His wife, who was not wanting to leave, as you know the story, turned back and was not able to continue on the journey to safety. So we see here, it's verse 16, the Lord being merciful to him. As he lingered, the Lord being merciful to him. I want to just highlight as we welcome our worship team up, it's important for us to recall. I don't know if you've ever had that saying, if there's ever been an element of poison that might be in your life, or you who are watching via live stream, how those areas that would come all of a sudden that take hold, maybe that element of just some form of addiction, that you would just say, you know, just one more day. I think I can beat this thing tomorrow. One more day. I'll just view this through the night one more time. Just one more gaze. I can handle this. And you can't. You can't. Whether that's consuming things because we just find an easy access. We don't want to pursue the Lord. We're just going to go in another direction. But you can see here we linger just one more day. And though you may have even flown with people, great people of faith, we ourselves get sucked down. Maybe today's the day. Time to leave Sodom. Wouldn't that be great? Time to leave Sodom. Not tomorrow, today. Today. So we see in verse 16, the Lord being merciful while he says, we're not going, grabbed them by the arm and took them outside of the city, and then destruction happened. Have you ever had that in your life where you knew God was merciful? How many just have had that happen? Just raise your hand. You know God spoke. I remember I was 21 years of age. I couldn't wait to do what 21 years old do when they're legal. And I got in a major car accident right there at Atlanta and Garfield in Monterey Park. My car spun around. I saw my life flash in front of me with the flying glass. And I knew God was speaking. I won't go into detail, but at age 22, I was in Life Bible College. Praise the Lord. God got my attention. God being merciful to me. God being merciful to you. God speaking to you. I'm going to invite you as we fire up this song now and just worship the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you stand with me? No one else can make that choice. Only you can make that choice. Is that time for better or for worse? Man, our lives could be so much better. Make that choice to say, Lord, I want to hang on to the cross. I want to walk life out with you. Let's sing this song together.
I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real. Death is a lie. of angels above, singing as one.
You to go ahead and close your eyes. My eyes are open. If you are here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you know that's a choice. We've made choices to be close to God or not, to be a nominal attender, participator or not. God's speaking to you and you're ready to give your life completely to Him. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. Or you're willing to rededicate your life to the Lord. You know you've made some choices. Okay, go ahead. I see that hand. Put it down. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Go ahead. Putting that hand down. Anybody else would just say, I need to surrender my life completely to Him. It's a choice that you need to make. That's between you and the Lord, and this is a great day for that to happen. You say, well, I'll just wait for tomorrow. Isn't that kind of linger? I'll make a decision one day. Before you know it, it becomes 5 years later. And some things are irreplaceable. Let's let our life's journey become fruitful once again. Those five hands that went up, and maybe some others, want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching my live stream, would you join us as well? You just know the Lord's speaking to you about those inconsistency things that are happening in your life, and you cannot journey it by yourself anymore. You're willing to surrender completely to the Lord. Let's do that together. Let's all pray this prayer out loud. It goes like this: Dear Jesus, I believe that you're what I need, and I confess to you now, my own strength has failed me. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I ask you now, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I want to live for you. May my voice, my actions bring you glory. I trust you now, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to just highlight a couple of things. First of all, thank you for being here. What a great series that we're on. It's such an honor to enjoy God and His Word here in Huntington Beach, isn't it? It's beautiful. Be able to have time in the Word and now just go and enjoy just our day. I want you, and I know the Lord does want you to enjoy life. Being joy-filled, being clean, it's a great way to live life. I'm going to pray you off that blessing. We do have individuals that are here to pray, so if we have our prayer couples that would station themselves, we welcome you to step forward. Please let us know if you need any assistance, especially watching live stream. We have a Now Get Connected attachment. Go ahead and press that link. Let us know your commitment today. Help us. Everybody needs to be discipled. Everybody can be saved, but not many get discipled. That's the missing link on a lot of individuals who have never journeyed past salvation in Jesus. Let me pray off that blessing. Thank you for coming today. What a great day. Father, we love you. And may the joy of our celebration, the advancement of some in their pursuits of education, as well as just age, Lord, thank you. And for those who have expressed their heart to you today and journeyed with us in the scriptures, learning from another man who had a lot of stuff and then lost it all. Lord, may you recoup everything maybe works of darkness have stolen from us and our loved ones who are here. And Lord, may we celebrate a life that's full, a life that is abundant. Lord, prosper your people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming. We're going to dismiss you now.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.